This is Talk of Asian Marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior. Our website is ccc.qbook.tv, where you can find other audio and video episodes with photos, links, and information related to today's conversation. Subscribe to leave comments and access research episodes with applied topics and research reports. Welcome to Talk of Asian Marketing. And we are here today in Beijing, and my colleague in crime, James Stanworth, is here. James, how you doing?
I'm great, Clyde. It's real nice to be here, and I think it's we're real lucky. I'm kind of feeling tired at the end of the day, but it's nice to have this meeting room that the clients let us use for, you know, a couple more hours, so it's real convenient. I think we've got a few exciting things to just kind of observe from this our experience here in Beijing. I mean, I've just arrived, so I think you've been here a few more days, so you've had more time to kind of get some observation in.
Yeah, we've been running around doing some things, and I'm working with a client. We have non-disclosure agreements, so we won't mention who, but I thought it was a great chance to get together with you here in Beijing and in this meeting room, so we get a little bit of an echo.
Yeah,
not the best place for recording, but we'll make it. It's a, you know, maybe marginally better than the worst day of Skype.
So. Oh yeah, for sure. We've got a, anyway. At least we're better than a coffee shop, better than outside, and it's working well. So exciting to be here.
Yeah, I got some pictures from a couple of recent visits to Beijing and some work I was doing. So rather than talk about the work we're working on now, which is, you know, personal and private for our clients, let's talk about some general observations related to kind of the marketing, consumer perceptions, and retail setting of Beijing, and kind of some overview ideas that I think if listeners have been listening for a while, they know we think about this a lot. But now let's really just show some nice examples of it. So I think one of the big things, the first thing is just a couple photos down below if you're on the webpage, is the Beijing Airport. Everybody knows this, but it's always an impressive place, especially when it was built up for the Olympics, James.
Yeah, I mean, these places are big statements, aren't they, Clive? When you walk in, they're, you know, big statements of success, and like everything in China, they're just made for massive volumes of people to move through. I mean, this one echoes the Shanghai Airport with that big roof and big supporting structures, and it's a big statement of success, of achievement, of the volumes of people that are going through there, and
it's got a real modern look to it. Lots of airports are built so big these days. It's also kind of got that communist feeling of that bigness and, you know, empty space.
Austerity, kind of it's right. Right.
But they have pushed a lot of retail into it. There's a lot of eating areas, a picture number a two, and the picture next to two is
three.
Far East Dawn, East Dawn, which is a subdivision of KFC.
Ah, yeah.
KFC bought it. They actually bought it. Yeah, it's kind of Chinese-oriented fast food. They've got some retail stuck in there. Sometimes it looks kind of minuscule when you compare it to that super high ceiling. You know, you've got this little shop in the ceiling. You know, 20 meters up in the air, it's a little bit high.
Yeah.
Quite different compared to Singapore, where everything's compacted and kind of has a, it seems like it's all designed for the retail to start with.
Yes, it does seem to be sort of added in, doesn't it, as kind of a little bit of an afterthought. But the thing that strikes me there is that, so much similarity, you know, it's a little bit more of the same when you walk into, you know, an airport like this.
Airport.
You could be in Hong Kong or you could be in London. You know, they've got a slight different flavor, but yeah, a lot of the core stuff is very same.
Airports are airports, right? Always the same. In fact, one of our colleagues that we know, Paul Freethy, has done research on airport retailing, and I think it's all about that universality.
Yeah, yeah, that common thread. So once you're out of the airports, here in picture five, we've got this really interesting, I mean, when I first saw that, when he first showed it to me, I thought it was a church.
Okay, yeah, these are the gated communities that we see around, and some of them are quite elaborate, James. They include, in this case, a golf course, a hotel, and all this kind of stuff, and it's quite elaborate. Lots of foreigners live in there. In fact, this part of Beijing is not far from the airport, and there are a lot of foreigners there.
Yeah, that's a bit, well, at first sight, I think that even looks more communist than your airport, that does. It's, I mean, it's certainly impressive when you roll up to that, and you're going to feel like a certain sort of celeb as you go in through the gate of that one. I guess that on the door you've got your normal thing, the guard, and the gate opens when you roll up, and then it looks like there's sort of a long driveway behind that. I mean, it's...
It goes into a whole community, so there's all little houses back there. They're very Western looking. I walked around there, and there's even houses with kids inside playing drums. I heard somebody playing a set of drums. So it's like being in a Western community, like a suburbs.
Okay, okay. But this is definitely, you're saying there's a lot of foreigners living there, and presumably this is real top-end stuff for locals.
This is going to be the super high-end stuff, so these are going to be your, you know, successful business people, factory owners, nouveau rich, and then the visiting foreigners that are doing the business there, or executives and people like that. They all get housing and all of that kind of stuff. So I think that the thing is, when you fly in and you visit, you might see these places and think they're the norm, and they're not.
Yeah, this is a bit special, isn't it? I mean, you can see from the outside as you kind of work our way around to picture five, the outside there. I mean, that's kind of starting to look a bit special, isn't it? And the message about exclusivity is a little bit reinforced. This picture really opened my eyes
when
you
showed it.
Number six, that's a very bold statement about who's supposed to be here and who's not supposed to be here.
Right.
Clearly, you've got the electric fence there, and that's clearly making a statement about keeping people out, and or maybe keeping people in.
I think in this case, keeping people out. A lot of construction was going on, which is true everywhere in China, right? But I think this is the super, super high-end stuff. It's going to be related to our show about buying a house. So it's the real estate boom, definitely bubble time there in China. And they're the really high-end stuff. So I wasn't too interested. But in the area, we also have, like within a block, we have regular housing, or I should say, housing that predates these buildings at least, right?
Well, but I think the interesting thing that, you know, is that when you see these sort of gated communities you drive past, we're tending to think that's almost a norm, right?
Yeah, so I always get a feeling when I'm looking at those gated communities, it reminds me of William Gibson's novels where they have all these different gated communities. He's got a couple books, and one of them is located in southern China, and everyone lives in these gated communities, of course, unless you're poor, and then you live outside them and you're exposed to crime and all of this. So it's kind of got that feeling to it, you know, the gritty side of China and the other side. But for a realistic view of the retail, what people are really buying and how they're acting as consumers, I think we need to get away from this kind of foreign protected area. And speaking of foreign protected areas, here is a shopping mall starting on picture 10.
Well, that doesn't need too much introduction. You've got your typical glass and steel, and then a little bit of a logo there, and we're right into, well, I mean, you show that picture to anyone, and you could be anywhere, couldn't you? I mean, that just looks like the underground in London.
Yeah, it's got that feeling to it, and it's got a lot of real estate. It had at least one real estate office on every floor, so it's part of the bubble that's going on. But the place was completely dead, James. I just walked over there yesterday. I was in there for a few hours. Totally dead, no shoppers around. Prices were outrageous. It's all oriented towards these, you know, business people, these foreigners that are here getting outrageous salaries and everything paid for. So that's what it's oriented towards. And picture 15 I was especially interested in because they're Star Wars figures. As you know, I have a collection of Star Wars figures. And in fact, these exact figures, I've purchased some of these from the Clone Wars, and my son was able to get them on Taobao, and even here in this mall in Beijing, the price was at 30% discount, as the picture shows, was still double what I was able to get them for online at Taobao. So these are outrageous prices. Anyway, let's move on to our kind of in-between space here.
Yeah, that in-between space, that's interesting. So you've got the Chinese, you've got the English. I like that bit up there that says homemaking, and this is basically
real estate.
Yeah, so local realtor, local estate agent, as we call them in the UK. So these, again, it looks very much like the bubble, something that's just sprung up out of nowhere. I guess was the housing close by, Clyde?
Yeah, these are all selling properties that are involved or next to these gated communities, those kinds of places. So this is oriented towards foreigners, thus the English on the sign. But what I like is we see this kind of in between. This is what a lot of retail is going to look like in the future of China. You're going to have something which is, I think, similar to Taiwan in a way, but because you have more space that you can use in China, you're going to get a little bit more, you know, spread out one-story buildings and things like that. I mean, Beijing is a very crowded place, but still it's really spread out.
Yeah, there's a lot of space in there, isn't there? And that's what intrigued me there. This looks like it's a road where you're just coming past, they catch your eye, and you've got another one in this next picture here.
Yeah, 17's kind of got a little restaurant area, a little bit of retail area, and I think this is a good idea. You know, you're going to have a step up from what we're used to from these buildings that are from 50, 60 years ago. I mean, it's kind of what you and I had in one of our Shanghai visits not too long ago. We had a show, and remember we passed a place that was had an exercise club inside. I think it was two stories, maybe.
Yeah, it was a two-story building. Yeah. Yes, they were on the second floor, weren't they? I can't remember if it was on the ground floor.
So you're not going to get like a Singapore pressure to build these, you know, really big high rises. So the in-between space is interesting, and I think this kind of points to a future where I think it looks a little bit like Taiwan, but then it has a little bit more space in it. I found a little restaurant there. There's a one-floor thing, and it's called Tasties, and this was actually a woman from Taiwan. There's so many Taiwanese in Beijing and Shanghai, James, that lots of them opening shops, or maybe their spouse is doing something in a company and they open a little shop on the side. This was like a bagel store.
Oh, that's interesting. I see Tasties, and I guess that's her name. Okay, then we move into sort of the real traditional kind of street, don't we?
Picture 19 and 20, we get some market right there. And what's interesting, I'm working with my client, and I'm talking to my client using pictures, talking about my theories of Zunao and Shenjing and all those kinds of ideas. And I'm using photos from wet markets, and they're all staring at me like I'm odd. And I say, haven't you been outside? Right down the block is a big wet market. And everybody's like, I had no idea. Where could that possibly be?
And I mean, that fits right with some of our conversations we've had with local executives over there, that, you know, what they find is they know that this market is so important. It's that big middle market, but yet lots of people who fly in see what we started with, don't they, Clyde? They see that real strong sense of big malls, they see the gated communities. It's quite hard to actually reach out to this reality, which is the reality for, you know, most people. Where they're getting out, they're shopping, they're getting their fresh here, and this is what it really looks like.
Yeah, that's why I admire Walmart so much in our Walmart show, where we can see how Walmart actually says, look, this is the reality, let's make our stores like that. Yeah, we have an Wujing store, which is I thought it was a nice little picture, because I know you're into the whole Wujing thing.
Yeah, well, I hunt those down normally in Taiwan, get my DIY stuff from these guys.
This picture 21.
And yeah, I mean, this is just real straightforward. I mean, you see this in Taiwan, you see these guys in Singapore, you see them here in China. These are all over.
I know you've hunted some of those down in Singapore, right?
Yes, well, yeah, I had my surprise there. We must do a show on this one.
Yeah, that's a real good show comparing that. So, you know, again, this is a real unified kind of idea of how you find this kind of stuff. Basically, a hardware store, right?
Yeah, it's a hardware store and caters for a lot of the guys just doing those basic hardware tasks. Some specialize a little bit more, but others not. And then we've moved on here, haven't we, to a little
snack store,
Shaotsu. And another nice eating place, I guess. Is that where you wait?
This was a kind of cafeteria style, and you could actually have takeout at the window right there.
Yeah, I was just seeing that. I bet there's a long line at lunchtime.
Yeah.
Looking a bit quiet now, but I think you had popped out after lunch, was it?
Yeah, I like the white tiles, and it references back to our wet market visit in Shanghai, that show. You get a lot of those white tiles that get hosed down and cleaned down, got that kind of look to it. A little bit of a close-up there on the next picture. Picture 24. 24, 23, 24. So I thought it was pretty neat how they had the takeout window right there, convenient.
Yeah, I bet at lunchtime there must be a real big queue that forms there as everyone lines up and gets their lunch, moves on their way.
Noodles, fresh noodles, and different kinds of snacks. I bought some snacks here. I think I bought a Thai Bao here. And just easy to get stuff. And then,
but the noodles there, I really like those noodles. I bet they just were made that fresh. And I bet they taste really, really good.
Fresh.
You eat in some of these places, Clyde?
I did buy a Thai Bao here, so it's... He's running. Okay, just keep going. I did buy a Thai Bao in here and then took it back to the hotel to eat.
Nice.
It was good. It was super cheap. I mean, compared to the supermarket, they have a supermarket in that shopping mall, and that stuff is outrageous.
I bet you ran from that stuff.
Yeah.
What do we got here? In picture
26.
Well, picture 26, this looks like, you know, this is typical Chinese
cooking
entrepreneurship,
oil.
Isn't it?
Babe? Cooking oil, some cleaning material. And so I think what's interesting here, of course, is my client I'm working with is a consumer product company. So this is exactly the kind of market they're looking for. But here we've got, you know, lots and lots of domestic product. And these are the challenge for a lot of American and UK companies that break this market here.
And I mean, the thing that I see there is how it's set up in a little gap. You've got a little bit of real estate, as it were, there, and someone's capitalized right on that and turned it into a little store.
Yeah, some bouts of just being steamed there. That was quite good. And I think right next to it were some cooked eggs. 28.
Yeah, the cooked eggs in 28. What have they just been boiled, were they?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a typical snack, isn't it? Those aren't the 1,000-year-old or tea eggs, are they? They're just straight boiled.
They might be. I forget. They did have the tea eggs there, but I'm not sure if that was or not. It might be. The picture's not too clear. So, a block away from where I was doing my consulting work with all these executives from overseas, where basically their idea was what we started off with, those high-end gated communities, that was the norm, they thought. But my norm is the different norm. My norm is this norm over here. And this is when I spent money, I went over here to buy food to eat. When I needed to get toothbrush and toothpaste, I went over here and got it way cheaper than I'd get in that shopping mall.
And are you different in that sense from a lot of the local consumers?
No, I think it's totally like them. And in fact, even some of the managers the local Chinese managers that are interoculars with the foreign company, when they go out to these places over here.
Yeah, so in other words, that's their norm.
That's their norm. And they're, they say, well, of course, guess what though, when they take their managers out, where do they go?
Yeah, particularly the foreign managers.
Exactly.
We bet where they're going, so.
Yeah, they go to all the high-end places. They put them up in the best hotels. They want to project that, you know? And then a lot of the employees they hire, you know, that's another thing I was struck with. They hire, the employees they hire are from the best universities. So they're all from Beijing University, Beida. So of course those young people are going to want to project what kind of image.
Yeah. So I think you're raising a really critical point there, Clyde, that on one hand you've got the foreign executives flying in from these big, important companies. What image are they presented with? They're presented with a sense of modernity, a sense of something that's fairly familiar in the way of these shopping malls, in the way of sort of housing, that looks a little bit like what I got back home. And there's that strong sense, isn't there, of a modernity that's developing, a sense of the modern that's developing that looks very much like what I've got. And so it starts to build a sense within the manager's mind of where they feel they should be going. Then you've got these fairly exclusive or trying to look for a word here, the Beida kind of people that are also projecting, the elite that are projecting that sense of a Western aspiration. But actually it's a fairly false reality. I mean, that's your core point, I think.
Yeah, even these young people, I mean, when they're 18 and 20 and 22, they're going to change their lifestyle when they're 30. And then, what 20-year-old do you know from your hometown do you think is a good representative of understanding your local culture? I don't know any.
Yes.
You know?
It's a
teenagers.
Lot of that. Yes, it's a lot of learning and aspiration and and these are the guys that aren't spending the significant money in many cases.
Well, they're spending their salary, so I think that fools the these Western companies into thinking that's the target market. But you know, when they mature and they have a family, they're gonna, or when they go out and buy something for their personal use, they have a different approach. But they don't tell their managers that. So I think, you know, it's a very short, quick to the point show today that I wanted to say, look, you've got in Beijing a lot of things right next to each other. If you open up your eyes and go look at them, you might see where the majority of the market's values really are.
Yeah, I mean, that's the punchline, isn't it? That the veneer or what you can tend to see is not actually the big reality and where the real big important action actually is at.
Yeah, well, I think we got to get back and...
I think we better get out of here
before we're kicked out, aren't we?
Yeah. All right, James.
Okay, Glenn, good one. Catch you soon.
See ya.
This is Talk of Asian Marketing with a special emphasis on localized Chinese consumer behavior. Our website is ccc.qbook.tv, where you can find other audio and video episodes with photos, links, and information related to today's conversation. Subscribe to leave comments and access research episodes with applied topics and research reports.